إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد Then to continue with Sharh Sunnah of Imam Al-Barbahari rahimahullah with the explanation of Sheikh Salih Al-Fawzan Hafidhullah. Then last time we had the remainder of point number 6. That with regard to the speech of everyone whose speech you hear in your time in particular, do not be hasty and do not enter into anything from it until you look and see to the end of the point. So just some of the points to remind us of what we had last time from Sheikh Al-Fawzan in his explanation. Then the Sheikh made clear that this was stated by Imam Al-Barbahari, rahimahullah, in his time. A time when he was from the, as we heard, from the students of Imam Ahmad. He almost himself lived at the same time as Imam Ahmad. However, slightly afterwards, he studied under the major students of Imam Ahmad. So this was stated in his time, the necessity of checking very carefully and being careful about any speech we hear about the deen, about the religion. So how about our time, 1,100 and more years later? How much more so this will apply in our time, that we need to be even more careful? These days, when there are many people who speak about the religion, even innovators, even people of misguidance, they speak in the name of the religion. So therefore, Sheikh Al-Fawzan mentioned that what is upon the Muslim, and particularly the student of knowledge, is to verify any sayings that he comes across, any sayings that he hears about the religion, that he verifies those sayings. Doesn't accept them, doesn't enter into what they contain, until he stops, verifies them, and he checks, who is the one who said this? Where does this saying come from? Who said it? And he checks what is the basis for it, what is the proof for this saying. Don't just accept the saying until he knows its proof from the book and the sunnah. And he knows who is the one who actually said this. If it sounds like it's something good, who actually said it? And that person, where did he study? Who did he take knowledge from? The one who made this statement. So we do not accept every saying, even if the one who is saying it speaks well, speaks at great length about the religion, speaks in a fine manner. We still do not, that does not lead us to accept what he says. And the Sheikh mentioned the lies of poetry, which mentioned the point that even false speech, the speech is false and futile. However, by use of the language, it can be made to sound alluring, attractive and beautiful, when it is actually something false and futile. So we need to be aware of that point. Establish what is the proof for this saying, and what sound and correct principles is it based upon. So indeed, these days, there are many trials, the Sheikh mentioned, there are many false ideas, and these trials and false ideas, they arise and they surge like waves. And the enemies, we should not forget, there are enemies waiting, wanting us to adopt their ideas, to leave the religion, turn the matter upside down, that we should follow them. Instead of them following the Muslims, accepting Islam, the enemies want us to do the other thing, that we accept their ideas, we follow them. So we should keep that in mind when we hear things. So what is upon us is indeed to stop and to verify any saying, where is its proof from the book and the sunnah, and that we withhold from many sayings these days. Many sayings and matters, we don't have to accept the saying, we don't have to enter into the matter. We can stop and just withhold from many of these things, and we should do. And the Sheikh mentioned, and the main thing that will be a protection after Allah in these affairs is the matter of fiqh, knowledge and understanding of the religion. So what is upon us is to gain knowledge of the religion, and seek understanding of the religion. For indeed, Sheikh al-Fawzan mentioned, the affair is not just hifz, not just memorizing. The affair in this regard is having knowledge and understanding, fiqh. For indeed, it is not the same to have knowledge and to have memorized a great deal without understanding. And he quoted a couple of ahadith in that regard. رُبَّ مُبَلَّغٍ أَوْعَى مِنْ سَامِعٍ. That it may be the case that a person who has some knowledge conveyed to him better comprehends it than the one who heard it originally. So, with regard to speech about the religion, we should stop and not be hasty. Check, is it based upon proof, upon the Quran, upon the book and the Sunnah? And then, the balance in understanding it, what is weighed in understanding of that matter, is speech of the companions. How did they explain the ayah? How did they understand the hadith? That if we find something from them, we cling on to it, we don't go beyond it, and we don't exchange it for anything else from the sayings of the later people. For indeed, what the companions were upon, that is the way to paradise, that is the true deen, that is the way to paradise. Anything which opposes that is the way to the hellfire. So we don't exchange what they were upon for the ideas of and thinking and speech of later people. We are not fooled by it, no matter how eloquent they make their speech sounding. Then with regard to what continues, point number 7, as occurs on page 110 of the official 2-volume edition, point number 7, the saying of the author, rahimahullah, wa'lam anna al-khuruja an al-tariqi ala wajhain, amma ahaduhuma farajulun qad zalla an al-tariq wa huwa la yuridu illa al-khayr fala yuqtada bi zallatihi fa'innahu halik wa rajulun anada al-haqq wa khalafa man kana qablahu min al-muttaqin fahuwa dhalun mudil shaytanun murid shaytanun maridun في هذه الأمة حقيق على من عرفه أن يحذر الناس منه ويبين للناس قصته لئلا يقع في بدعته أحد فيهلك. The saying of the Imam Abu Muhammad al-Barbahari rahimahullah, and know that departing from the correct path occurs in one of two ways. As for one of them, then it is that a man strays from the correct path, intending nothing but good. So he is not to be followed upon his error, because he is heading towards destruction. And, meaning secondly, and a man who deliberately opposes the truth and acts contrary to the pious ones who came before him, then he is astray, leading others astray. He is a rebellious devil within this nation. It is a duty upon those who are aware of him to warn the people against him and to explain his condition to them, so that no one falls into his innovation and is destroyed. Shaykh al-Fawzan, hafidhullah, he said in explanation, Shaykh, rahimahullah, obviously referring to the author, Imam al-Barbahari, rahimahullah. The Shaykh, rahimahullah, having explained in the preceding speech the correct path which it is obligatory upon the Muslim to proceed upon in his aqidah, his creed and belief, and in his religion, he then mentioned that one who departs from this path will be one of two men. He's made clear what is the correct path now. Now he's making the point of those who stray away from this correct path. There'll be only one of two cases, one of two kinds of men. The first man is one who departs from it, not doing so deliberately, rather intending good. However, he follows a path other than the path of good. And ijtihad, personal deduction, will not be sufficient. Even if the person's intention was righteous and his intent was good, but along with that, he must be upon the correct path. It's not enough that he can say he's upon error, he's erred. And he says, but my intention is good, as if that justifies the affair. The Shaykh said, no, okay, his intention is good, that is not sufficient. Rather, he must be upon the correct path. This person is counted as being one who has erred with a good intention, but he's gone into innovation. He's counted as one who has erred. And whoever agrees with him upon that and proceeds with him upon error, and he knows that it is error, then he is destroyed. Because this is a path leading to destruction. Even though the person, the original person, did not intend to depart from it. Rather, he was only seeking after good. I mean, that doesn't change the fact that it's a path to destruction. The Shaykh said, and this is the condition of many of those people who introduce new ideas from themselves in the matter of knowledge of aqidah, creed and belief. So this is a matter which is not permissible, and they are not to be followed upon it. And the person is not upon correctness. And Allah, the Majestic and Most High, says, وَأَنَّ هَذَا صِرَاطِي مُسْتَقِيمًا فَاتَّبِعُوهُ وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا السُّبُلَ فَتَفَرَّقَ بِكُمْ عَنْ سَبِيلِهِ. Surah Al-An'am, the 6th Surah, Ayah 153. With the explanation, and this is my straight path, so follow it, and do not follow the divergent paths, which will separate you away from his path, from Allah's path. The Shaykh said, so whichever path will take us away from the straight path, then we reject it, even if the person upon it is intending good, and his intention is good, then still we do not follow him upon that. And he, if he continues upon his error, he will go on to destruction. Because whoever leaves the correct path on his journey and takes a path leading to ruin, then he will be destroyed. He will be destroyed. So there Shaykh Fawzan has finished discussion of the first man, the first person who leaves the path, not intending to do so. He's got a good intention, but he errs from the correct path, strays away from the correct path. Just a small side point here, in addition to what occurs here, from Shaykh Ahmad al-Najmi, rahimahullah, he said just with regard to this wording, فَإِنَّهُ هَالِكُ, and this person who intended good, but strayed away from the truth, strayed away from the true path, strayed into innovation, with regard to the phrase فَإِنَّهُ هَالِكُ, then literally he is destroyed. Shaykh Ahmad al-Najmi, rahimahullah, he said, I say, if the author, rahimahullah, had restricted this wording, I mean, it would have been more appropriate maybe, or slightly better, if he had restricted this wording slightly, and the judgment concerning it, such that he had said, فَإِنَّهُ هَالِكٌ إِن مَاتَ وَلَمْ يَتُوبْ. It would be better, it would be clearer, if he had phrased this, he is destroyed if he dies upon it and does not repent. In that innovation that he strayed into, intending good, if he continues upon it, does not repent, and dies upon that innovation, then he is destroyed. So Sheikh is making the point that, I mean, that's, it would be better if it was worded that way. And the Sheikh said, and I say also that intending good will not benefit a person, that he just intends what is good, but he does not adhere to the straight path which came from Allah. And then the Sheikh mentioned the long incident, the long story of those people who were counting the stones. The report reported by Ad-Darimi in his Sunan, the narration concerning Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anh, those circles in the masjid, the people counting the stones. And when they were criticized by Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anh, that they made their excuse and they said, by Allah, O Abu Abdurrahman, we only intended good. That was the excuse. They'd done this innovation. They were doing dhikr, which is legislated, but they were doing it in an innovated manner. So when they excused themselves, they said, by Allah, O Abu Abdurrahman, we only intended good. So then Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anh responded to them, وَكَمْ مِنْ مُرِيدٍ لِلْخَيْرِ لَنْ يُصِيبَهُ. And how many people intend good but do not attain it? How many people intend good but never actually attain it? So the Sheikh mentioned that as evidence for that point. Back to the explanation of Sheikh Al-Fawzan, Hafidhullah, he then moves on to discuss the second type of person who leaves the path of truth. He said, as for the second man, then he is the one who exits deliberately. So he is aware of the truth. And he knows that what he has gone out to is batil, false and futile. However, he deliberately exits from the truth with the intent of misleading the people. So the first person mentioned, his intention was to rectify the people. However, he did not proceed upon the correct path. Whereas the second person, the one being discussed here now, whereas the second person, his intention is to mislead the people, to misguide the people, and to turn them away from the correct path. So this one is a shaitan, this one is a devil. Because the devils take the people away from the straight path. And Sheikh Fawzan quotes an evidence for that. He said, Iblis said to his Lord, the Mighty and Majestic, لَأَقْوَدَنَّ لَهُمْ سِرَاطَقَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ Surah Al-A'raf, the 7th Surah, Ayah 16, with the explanation that Iblis said, addressing Allah the Most High, I shall lie in wait for them and lead them astray from your straight path. Sheikh Fawzan said, he meant that he would turn them away from it towards the deviant paths. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam struck an example for this when he drew a straight line and he drew around it other lines. And he said, with regard to the straight path, this is the path of Allah. This is Allah's path. And he said to the other paths, or he said with regard to the other paths, وَهَذِهِ سُبُلْ عَلَى كُلِّ سَبِيلٍ مِنْهَا شَيْطَانٍ يَدْعُ النَّاسَ إِلَيْهَا. That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned the long straight path in the middle. This is Allah's path. And he said, with regard to the other paths at the side, and these are the other paths. Upon every path from them, there is a devil calling the people to it. In a footnote, they give a long footnote here, referencing this narration as being reported by Al-Tayalisi in his Musnad, Imam Ahmad in his Musnad, Sa'id bin Mansur in his Sunan, Ad-Darimi, An-Nasa'i in his Sunan al-Kubra, and a lot of others besides, a number of other references besides. All of them, they say, as a narration of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, And it was declared authentic by Ibn Hibban and Al-Hakim, agreed to by Al-Dhahabi, and declared sahih, authentic, by others from the people of knowledge. And in addition, Shaykh Al-Albani, in his Shaykh al-Mishkat, he declared this narration to have a hasan, a good chain of narration. Then Shaykh Fawzan said, commenting upon this, "This is a clear illustration." And what the Shaykh mentioned here, what Imam al-Barbahari mentioned in this part of his text, what the Shaykh mentioned here is consistent with it. Since the person who takes the people away from the straight path, taking them to new and innovated paths, does not want good for them. How can he want good for them? He's taking them away from the straight path to these different paths. There's no way that he can be wanting good for them. Rather, he wants for them destruction. And he is a devil, a shaitan. Whether he be from the devils of the jinn or from the devils of mankind. So it is upon us to beware of this even more than we are wary of the first one. I mean, the second type of the person here. The one who knows the truth, deliberately chooses a path other than the truth and calls the people to it away from the straight path. We should beware of him even more than we beware, alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah, even more than we beware of the first person, the one who intended good but strayed from it unwittingly. We should beware of this one, the second one, the one who does it deliberately, he knows the truth, takes a different path, calls people to it. We should beware of this one even more than we are wary of the first one. Because this one deliberately tries to misguide the people. Then Shaykh Fawzan moves on. He said, he's saying, فَهُوَ ضَالٌ مُضِلٌ شَيْطَانٌ مَرِيدٌ. So he is astray, leading others astray. He is a rebellious devil. Shaykh Fawzan said, he is ضَالٌ, he is misguided himself. Mudillun, misguiding other people. And he is a rebellious, defiant devil. He wants to turn the people away from the straight path. He said, his saying, حَقِيقٌ عَلَى مَنْ عَرَفَهُ أَنْ يُحَذِّرَ النَّاسَ مِنْهُ وَيُبَيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ قِصَّتَهُ لِأَلَّا يَقَعَ فِي بِدْعَتِهِ أَحَدٌ فَيَهْلِكَ. It is a duty upon whoever knows of him that he should warn the people against him and make clear his condition to the people so that no one falls into his innovation and is destroyed. Shaykh Fawzan said, this person who has departed from the truth deliberately, it is not permissible to remain silent about him. Rather, it is obligatory to disclose his affair and to expose his shameful state so that the people can beware of him. And it should not be said. And then Shaykh Fawzan quotes many sayings these days which are used in defense of people, upon falsehood, or people upon even innovation. Statements used in defense. The Shaykh said, and it should not be said. The people are free to have their own opinions. The people should have freedom of speech. Or there should be respect for the opinions of others. Shaykh Fawzan said, as they constantly say these days, these sayings that you hear, with regard to respecting the other person's opinion. In these type of matters here, someone's upon deviation, calling others to the deviation, knows the truth and chooses a different way, then they bring these types of phrases in defense of him. Leave him alone, as the Shaykh said. They say the people are free to have their own opinions. People have freedom of speech. We should have respect for other people's opinions. The Shaykh said, as they constantly say these days, with regard to respecting the opinion of others. So the matter is not a question of opinions. The matter is a question of ittiba, following the truth, So for us, Allah has laid down and described a clear path, and He has told us to proceed upon it. When He said, وَأَنَّ هَذَا سِرَاطِي مُسْتَقِيمًا فَاتَّبِئُوهُ, same ayah from Surah Al-An'am, the sixth surah, ayah 153, with the explanation, and this is my straight path, so follow it. Do ittiba of it, follow it. So that's what's upon us, that's what we're commanded with, following the straight path. The Shaykh said, so whichever person comes to us and wants us to depart from this path, then firstly, we reject his saying. First thing we do when somebody comes to us, wanting us to do that, to leave that path, first thing we do is we reject his saying. And secondly, we make his affair clear, and we warn the people against him. And it is not allowable for us to remain silent about him. I mean, that person who came to us with this idea, it's not permissible that we keep quiet, we reject him, and then we let him carry on and go to somebody else, and somebody else, and somebody else from this nation with the same idea. No, not permissible for us to remain silent with regard to this person, the like of this person. Because if we remain silent about him, then the people will be fooled by him. Especially if he is a person of eloquence, one who can speak well, one who is able to speak and to write well, and a person of culture, then the people will be fooled by him. And they will say, this is a qualified person. This person is from the thinkers, as occurs at present. Today, when people speak with falsehood, but they speak very eloquently, that's what the type of thing people say. But he's a very qualified, very competent speaker. He's one of the thinkers, and the like. The Shaykh said, as occurs at present. So the matter is very dangerous. And this shows that it is obligatory to refute the one who opposes. Opposite to what those people say, who say, leave off rudud, leave off refutations. Leave the people. Let everyone have his own opinion. And respect him. Have his own respect. And have freedom of thought. And the freedom to speak. Shaykh Fawzan answers this and says, in this way the nation will be destroyed. I mean, if we allow this person of deviation to speak because of these claims that they say, leave the people. Just don't refute them. Don't do any refutation of these people. Let everyone have his own opinion. Everyone's opinion should be respected. Everyone can have freedom of thought, freedom to speak. The Shaykh said, in this way, this nation will be destroyed. The Salaf, the predecessors, were not silent about the like of those people. Rather, they exposed them and refuted them, because they knew of their danger to this nation. So we have no scope for remaining silent about their evil. Rather, we must make clear that which Allah sent down. Otherwise, we will be people hiding the truth from those about whom Allah has said, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَكْتُمُونَ مَا أَنزَلْنَا جزاك الله خير إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَكْتُمُونَ مَا أَنزَلْنَا مِنَ الْبَيِّنَاتِ وَالْهُدَى مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا بَيَّنَّاهُ لِلنَّاسِ فِي الْكِتَابِ أُولَئِكَ يَلْعَنُهُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَلْعَنُهُمُ اللَّاعِنُونَ. Surah Al-Baqarah, the second surah, ayah 159. With the explanation, those who conceal that which Allah sent down from the clear signs and the guidance, after we have made it clear to the people in the book, those people, Allah curses them, and those who curse them. Shaykh Fawzan said, So the affair is not restricted to the mubtadi', it's not restricted just to the innovator. We can't just say, okay, he's upon innovation, leave him alone, okay, he's with his innovation. The affair is not restricted to the innovator. Rather, the matter involves those who remain silent about him. Because blame and punishment includes him as well. It includes the innovator himself, and it includes the one who knows about him and is silent about him. Because what is obligatory is to clarify and clearly explain to the people. This is the role of the Rudud. This is the role of the knowledge-based refutations, which are to be found plentifully in Islamic bookshops today. That's something that we hear as well from people who are supposed to be people of the Sunnah speaking against refutations. That why do the scholars write so many refutations? Why does Sheikh such and such, why is he always refuting people? So the Sheikh is making very clear the affair here. This is why. This is indeed the role, this duty here. So that the blame and any punishment is upon the innovator. Likewise, it will be upon the one who stays silent about him and he knows about him, and he stays silent. He hides the truth with regard to him. He hides his condition. The Sheikh says, so this is the role of the knowledge-based refutations, which are to be found plentifully in the Islamic bookshops today. All of them defending the straight path and warning against those people. So no one promotes these ideas. The idea of the freedom to hold any opinion, or the freedom to speak, freedom of speech, and respecting others. No one promotes these ideas except for one who strives to misguide and who conceals the truth. I mean, the matters of innovation and the likelihood of misguidance being called to, then someone defends it by saying, no, leave him alone. People should have freedom of opinion, freedom to express their own opinion, freedom of so forth. Those who use the like of that to defend this person of innovation, as the Sheikh said, no one will do so except for one who strives to misguide and who conceals the truth. The Sheikh said, so we, our intention is the truth. We do not just intend to defame the people in the refutations, when the people of knowledge, when they write refutations of so-and-so, refutation of him, refutation of him, refutation of the evil of so-and-so. The Sheikh said, we intend the truth. We intend the truth. We do not intend just to defame people or just to speak against the people. The intent is to make the truth clear. And this is an amanah. This is a trust and responsibility which Allah has placed upon the scholars. So it is not permissible to remain silent about the like of those people. However, unfortunately, when a scholar comes and refutes the like of those people, then they say, oh, he's just one who's speaking in haste to the rest of these evil whisperings. When they find a scholar of the Sunnah refuting the people of innovation, they start to speak against that scholar, saying he just rushes to speak, he's very hasty, or he's very rash, or he's very harsh, or so on and so forth, to the rest of the evil whisperings that they say about the Sheikh. So the Sheikh said, when a Sheikh refutes the like of them, then these people, they say, he's just speaking in haste to the rest of the evil whisperings. So such a person should not betray the people of knowledge, for they're clarifying the evil of the callers to misguidance to the people. He should not betray and let them down. You shouldn't do that. No one should do that. That's where Sheikh Fawzan ends explanation of this particular point. And just before finishing, just two additions here from to other explainers. Firstly, Sheikh Ahmed al-Najmi, rahimahullah, again, then he said, on this same point, on the point of refuting the people of innovation, He said, what is obligatory upon everyone who knows the truth is that he should aid it. Obviously, not like some people say, that a person upon the sunnah, and say, well, I don't want to get involved in these affairs, I'll just stay at the side here. And, you know, people, the scholars are refuting the people of innovation, and I don't want to get involved, I just want to, you know, take a back seat, and as if he's not with the scholars, not upon the sunnah, or not upon the truth himself. Just want to take, you know, like a tennis match, this side and that side. So Sheikh Ahmad, rahimahullah, he said, what is obligatory upon everyone who is aware of the truth is that he should aid it. And he continued after some speech, he said, and whoever claims that refuting the people of innovation splits up this nation, causes splits in this nation, and it disunites this nation, then he is dhalun, he is misguided also, because he wants this nation to unite upon falsehood. And this is a matter which Islam does not consent to. And this one who defends the people of innovation says that the people of knowledge should not refute them, should leave them alone, because they're just splitting up this ummah. It just causes splits in the ummah when we refute the people of innovation. And Sheikh said, a person who says the like of this, he is misguided himself. Because he actually wants then what he wants, in reality, is that this nation should be united upon what? United upon batil, falsehood. And this is something which Islam does not consent to. Then secondly, from the taped explanation of Sheikh Saleh al-Suhaimi, a slightly longer quote here, that Sheikh Saleh ibn Sa'd al-Suhaimi, hafidhullah, he said with regard to this point, that the people who depart from the truth and go into innovation are one of two people. One who does so not intending it, unintentionally, he goes into innovation. And the second one, the person who deliberately goes into innovation. And Sheikh al-Suhaimi, hafidhullah, he said, yes, this is a precise categorization from the Sheikh, rahimahullah. The innovators are indeed of two categories. Rahimahullah. He said, because the Sheikh, the author here, as you know, throughout this whole book, his focus is upon the innovators. And from them, there is a category who actually want the truth. They desire the truth. But he does not attain it. Just like the people of Dhikr, who we mentioned a short while ago. Again, the same incident of those people in the masjid who are doing an innovated form of dhikr, which Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, radiallahu anhu, criticized. The same story. Intending good, as they said. Intending good. So the Sheikh said, indeed, there's this category. The first, those who just intend good. They're upon innovation, but their intention is just to be upon good. Those, the Sheikh said, companions of dhikr, remembrance, who we mentioned a short while ago. Those to whom Ibn Mas'ud said, or rather they said to Ibn Mas'ud, مَا أَرَدْنَا إِلَّا الْحَقِّ, we only intend the truth. However, how many people there are who intend the truth, but do not attain it? The Sheikh said, whoever intends the truth, he should seek it from its correct place. And the truth does not come about through venerating individuals, nor through flashy words, nor by having a majority. It only comes about through ittiba, following the truth. Following the first generations, the generations of the companions and the tabi'een, and proceeding upon their methodology. So the like of this person, I mean the first person, he strays into innovation, but he only intends the truth. The like of this person is destroyed if he does not come back, if he doesn't return, and seek the truth with its proof from its correct place. However, his danger is less than the danger of the second category of the people. And perhaps his harm will be restricted to himself, meaning the one who intends the truth, but he seeks it not in the correct way. So he slips and innovates and falls into innovation. And the judgment upon him will be in the light of how severe his innovations are. It may be saghira, of the level something less, or it may be something major, like a major kabira, or it may be something which takes him out of Islam, in accordance with the level of what the innovation is that he falls into, a lesser, major, or something that takes him out of Islam altogether. But his danger will be less. And your advising him should be between you and him. I mean, how do we deal with a person like that? Your advising him should be between you and him. If you know that he is not a caller to innovation, and that he does not propagate innovation, then you should come to him privately, and you make clear to him the correct path, so that he can follow it. You make clear to him the methodology, the manhaj of the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And you don't make his affair open. You don't mention him upon the minbars. You don't mention him as being a person with criticism. Rather, you direct him and give him sincere advice. So if this type of person, if this is how he is, then maybe one day, by the permission of Allah, he will turn back. And even if he stays upon his innovation, then he does not represent a great danger to the people, the rest of the people. I mean, he doesn't call to this innovation. However, what's obligatory is that you strive to give him advice and clarify and give him correct, constructive direction. As for the second category of people, I mean the one who leaves the truth deliberately, as for the second category, those who are obstinate, those who do so deliberately with pride, they commit innovation obstinately, deliberately. The more you forbid him, the more he increases in his error until he becomes a caller to innovation. Therefore the Salaf, they used to reject, the Sheikh said, the narrations of who? They used to reject the narrations of an innovator who was a caller to innovation. They would reject his innovation. They would reject his narrations and not accept them. Rather, they would reject them and warn against him and against his innovation. So the like of this person, you must make his affair clear. You can't cover him up and hide it. No, this one, the one who's a caller to innovation, you must make his affair clear and warn against him. And if he has written a book, he is refuted with a book. If he has a tape, he is refuted with a tape. If he gives addresses, speeches, he is refuted in speeches. And the people are warned against his evil. And the Sheikh went on to mention further examples in that regard. This is not backbiting. This is correct. This is one of the examples that Imam Nawawi in his book Riyad al-Salihin mentioned are an exception. This is a case where it's obligatory to speak against that person, isn't it? And it cannot be said, this is backbiting, this is forbidden. That is not the case. It's obligatory to speak against the like of this one. The innovator who's calling to innovation. Then, after some speech, the Sheikh said, finishing, so this second type, who is indicated by the author here, he is the most dangerous of people for this nation. Therefore, it is obligatory to warn the people against him and to draw attention to their evil. And to warn the nation against their evil. Allahu ala Muhammad. Subhanak Allahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Barakallahu fikum.